It's time for the Tuesday Hacks here on the 27th of October. Let's welcome in the team. And first of all, the Herald Sun's Johnny Ralph joins us thanks to Eco Garage Doors, 100% Victorian-owned manufacturers of residential, commercial and industrial garage doors. Head to ecogaragestores.com.au to find out more. Ralphie, how about that? As a Richmond supporter, are you still up and about?
Am I up and about? I'll be up and about for the next decade because of that. Hey, can I give you my hottest of hot takes, Gareth?
Yes.
Before we introduce the great man, Courtney Walsh. Was it the greatest season that footy's ever seen? Now, I know people will talk about 1993 and the superstar full forwards on show and that, you know, a really tight, high-scoring season and then, of course, the Baby Bombers. But, you know, an epic first week of the finals, 34-point, you know, margin across the four teams. The superstars that were absolutely on show. And I know Lachie Neale won the Brownlow convincingly, but, you know, Fife, Dangerfield, Martin, Ablett, Hawkins, all of those guys on tie. Very few of the stars of the game out for injury. The fluctuations, the Pies and Richmond were seen to be shot at various stages and both bounced back to play finals. You know, the storylines that kept coming, and I'd have to remind you about that. You know, the high drama of the COVID breaches, some of the issues there, and Magic Door and his amazing comeback. And then the fact that we get a grand final where, you know, that bulldozing collision. And then we see, of course, the grand final where the Tigers star, Dustin Martin, flies and they come back from 22 points down.
I think it's one of the most amazing seasons. I don't know the quality on the field. I don't know if it's been the best season regarding to the best footy, but I think it's been a season that has had a lot of ups and downs. It's been a roller coaster, but I think it's been a competition this year that I think Richmond will go down as one of the great teams, and this is one of the great victories to win a premiership under the circumstances, because it's been the footy club that's been the most resilient, especially the Tigers, with everything that happened to them off-field as well in the early part of the season. But to do what they did there on Saturday night, I think just helps grow their legend, especially with this playing group. The Australian newspapers, Courtney Walsh, that's been up there up there in Queensland covering this wonderful sport for the last couple of months, joins us now. G'day, Walshy. Welcome back to Victoria.
No, actually, still on the train on the way to the Brisbane Airport, Gareth.
Okay.
Back a little later today, but very much a privilege to have the fortune to be able to cover it over the last 2 months up here. It's been just quite an extraordinary season, as you mentioned, and to get to the point we did on Saturday where just torrential rain all afternoon. You're thinking, is there a possibility this game will be delayed given the lightning policy? And there was a lot going on.
Yeah.
Seemed like it was symbolic of the season, really.
0416905052. If you've got a question for Ralphie and Courtney, please join our conversation today. Hey, Ralphie, I'll start off with you. Is this the greatest ever? You talk about being one of the best ever seasons, but from an AFL perspective, now we can applaud Gil McLachlan and his team. And I know that they've had to make some tough decisions to let go good people in that organisation. And then the clubs have had to let good people because of the situation that we find ourselves in. But to get the season through and to save millions and millions of dollars has been some achievement by everyone involved in that game.
Yeah, when you think about the own goals that the AFL perpetrated on itself in the previous year, and a lot of them were for Gillon McLachlan, you know, the rules on the run in the AFLW, you know, some of the bizarre decisions they've made there. You know, think of all those dramas with the security guards marching up and down and, you know, the heavy-handed nature of that in the AFL. You know, Gillon McLachlan jetting off to Hawaii and basically trying to hide it. You know, none of them were things that were not able to be overcome, but you know, Gillon McLachlan was on the nose. Gillon McLachlan was a figure who it was seen was almost certain to leave this game by the end of the season, even if not by his own volition, well, being gently nudged out. I mean, what's the mistake that the AFL has made over 1,000 complex decisions with everything on the line? You know, even their ability to have the season to play the round one and then stop it. You know, having spoken to a few people over the last few days, they said, you know, when we stopped that season in round one, we effectively thought, we're out for 6 months. There's no chance we can start in 6 months. And yet through the fixturing and through the final systems, you know, there were things that people quibble with, but they nailed every single big decision. And as a result, we get the season underway. And we, as Dylan said in The Australian on Saturday, a $965 million black hole if they didn't get the year underway. And now they believe they might lose as little as $100 million. It's just extraordinary.
Walshy?
It, Look, for me, in the week leading up to round one, we know that there were discussions, obviously, at board level, at commission level, as to whether or not they would actually play that opening round. And there was a lot of consternation because we knew what was coming and the potential for, I suppose, the potential of shutting it down was so weighed so heavily on so many people. I think they made a good call to get it actually going. Even if we had to shut down after one round, it was very important to do that. To be able to resurrect the season like they did, I think is astonishing. Really, to get through without any further stoppages when we had, incidences such as, a player testing positive, but they were able to put in the protocols to be able to make sure they got through. So many things went right. I think they had good fortune, but it was clearly good fortune that came from great planning, to be able to have the plans and discussions in place with government officials to relocate initially from Victoria and then obviously also to move on from Sydney when there was some concerns there. The hour of power, that discussion with Anastasia Palaszczuk when they were able to get the grand final over the line, the move over the line, so important. Really an extraordinary season.
Hey, Ralphie, what about a night grand final? Let us know. Do you like a night grand final, or do you prefer to go back to the day? 0416905052 to join our conversation. Hey, when you look at the TV ratings, Johnny, and I know that they can be a little bit more inflated because of the situation Victoria found itself in with most people still in stage 4 lockdown, but they're still remarkable. How can the AFL, when they rely so heavily on broadcast fees to help run the game and support the game, go back to a day grand final?
Well, they can do it because it's the best spectacle. You look at Channel 7, they've already locked in their broadcast deal for 2024. I think if you want to look at it compared to 2019, that was a bust of a grand final from a ratings point of view. But if you even look at the figures across a 10-year average, we saw 4 million in 2005, and we saw, very close, 3.9 in 2016. Now, both of those games, both quite clearly had a Sydney presence, and that's why they had great numbers there. But look, I abhor a night grand final, and all the dramas that goes with that, the capacity to even celebrate with your fans, the capacity just to head out and go to a pub after a game. Now, at the very least, I think it's a 4:40 game that becomes a half time at 6 o'clock in dark. And then you have the entertainment spectacle. For me, it's a 2:30 game. I understand people have very different feelings, but I just think you're still likely to get, let's call it 3.4, let's call it 3.5 with a twilight grand final. I hate everything about the night grand final, to be honest.
Then Ralphie, why do we have so many games played at night that are the only game that I can see in afternoon? I can never really work this out. It's the Anzac Day match, but most of the other blockbusters are played at night. So why do we have all of the best games played at night and then our grand final played in a day?
Yeah, because I think we all realise it's a ratings play. And so we realise that if you're going to play 196 home and away games, that most of them have to maximise the ratings product, because we all understand that, we're paying a couple of billion over 7 years for that. But I think the grand final is different. The grand final, we want it to be the best of the best. We want it to have clean handling. I just love that beautiful build-up where you have the grand final breakfast if you want it, you have a TSC Cup contest if you want it, the natural flow of the game, and then critically after the game, yes, for us print journos, we want a couple of hours to be able to percolate over it and get, those 32-page wraparounds done. But I think what we really lacked in the grand final was, the Mr. Brightside moment, the capacity to have those post-match festivities, the capacity for these clubs to do what they wanted and interact with their fans again. I love all of that. There is no chance to have
Please, Ralphie, you just want a day grand final because you just pointed that out. It gives you more time for your paper to get your articles to print. That's why, Courtney, you print journos and you can tell that you guys have got an agenda. You're talking from a selfish point of view, if you ask me.
Now, Gareth, I know that you've been in radio and also in television for a long, long time, and there are certain challenges associated with being a print journal, and one of them is deadline nightmares. Nighttime certainly make it tougher. But it was interesting. In terms of the late-night finish, Richmond basically walked out of the Gabba at midnight. They gathered in the centre square, like they've done after the last two flags. It was empty for their final rendition of Yellow and Black, but for those working, I know I walked out of the Gabba about 1:30 in the morning. That's an issue. I just think the other thing, the AFL always prides itself on being, you know, it's for the fans, it's for the community. The economic impact of playing it so late is problematic. I suppose you can say, well, hang on, people can go and have lunch before games and then get to the game, or people can go and do those things. The other factor is people want to watch it. You want to maximise the attendance. You want to have people, younger people watching it. I thought Peggy O'Neill's point about we've got a responsibility to the next generation of fans is important as well. You need to, you know, if kids are going to bed early, it's problematic in that regard. I've always been firmly of the opinion it should be a day match. But, you know, if twilight is the option, I think it's better than night.
Yeah. It's a great talking point. And I would imagine how much say will the broadcasters have on this, Ralphie?
Well, not as much as you think. Now, yeah. Quite clearly, you know, if there was a TV deal waiting to be signed, then I think the AFL, we've always thought the AFL would have had a night grand final later in that cycle, and so they could actually say, look at this, guys, look at what it's worth. But look, clearly Fox Footy doesn't broadcast the grand final, so they're out of it. We did a warm-up and that was it, under contractual obligations. And look, you know, as much as Channel 7 has been really heavy-handed with the cricket, and we've seen all their comments from James Warburton, well, look, I think Lewis Martin would love to have it, but I don't think he's lobbying for it. I think as long as you can have great games and great fixtures, you know, I think the AFL very much says the grand final is our property and it's our property to choose when. So, look, I think, you know, that 4 o'clock or 4:30 time slot, it gives people a chance to, you know, have the rhythm of the day, to have, you know, the pre-match light with all of the things, the flyovers, mm-hmm. the presentation of the cup with the helicopter, and then it still gives us that 30 minutes of half-time. And I think the one thing through the game, no one really noticed that it was a longer half-time, which is something we've always quibbled with. So you can still have the half-time entertainment, which was great, and then you can have those fans, you know, watching the post-match concert, the centre square reunion of the players, which has become such a fantastic celebration, and then that they get presented on stage as well. So, look, you know, I'm talking with my heart. I think with your head, you feel like the common sense solution for the AFL will be to have a 4:40 next year.
Plenty of feedback coming through. We'll get to those in just a moment, so you can have your say. 0416 905 052. Boys, in a couple of minutes, did Peter Volandis, would he be worried with what the AFL's been able to achieve up there in Queensland, especially with the ratings when you compare the two grand finals? I'll start with you here, Ralphie.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Yeah, the ratings were an absolute walloping. I think, you know, if it was only that, and if it was only a short-term spike, you'd say, you know, this is just something where the NRL rebounds from. But, I mean, you know, Gillon McLachlan was there on Thursday having meetings with the Queensland government. You know, so much of what the AFL was able to provide there, and the fact that they gave the grand final to the Gabba, was about a long-term play in terms of investment in the ground, investment in the junior competitions. You know, while she's written about it at length as well. And so, you know, you can win the hearts and minds over a single two-hour period, but if you can get that junior infrastructure up there, that's what's going to be more worrisome for Peter Volandis and co.
It's certainly been interesting being on the ground up here, particularly on the Gold Coast, and even talking to a couple of Ralphie's colleagues at Fox Footy, Jonathan Brown and Nick Riewoldt. Now, they lived in Melbourne for quite a while. Asking them their reflections on how the game's changed since they've left Queensland. Clearly, there's a thriving junior football scene. You only have to drive past football ovals. You can see it. Gil McLachlan sort of spoke about being stunned when he went to a celebration of a guy who coached his 1,000th game, and he coached some AFL players, etc. So there is clearly a foothold. No doubt it's not the number one sport. You only need to sort of be on the Gold Coast in the lead. You know, admittedly, the weather was different, but there was a lot of NRL sort of activity watching the grand final on the Sunday night. But I certainly think that they've got a foothold here that's very strong. Again, as Gil McLachlan said, at the official function before the grand final on Saturday, we've been here for 100 years. We've been here for 150 years. So, I think the game is in good shape up here. And I think if they can continue to have success, the Lions, and if the Suns can come through and be strong, they'll continue to develop a stronger following. And I think that's only good for the game as a whole. You need a strong competition all the way around the country.
Tuesday Hacks on this Tuesday morning. You are with Gareth Hall, the Herald Sun's Johnny Ralph, and also the Australian newspaper's Courtney Walsh. A few questions coming through, lads. Hi, Gareth, Ralphie and Courtney. Who is the greatest footballer in Australia of this century so far, Gary Ablett Jr. or Cam Smith? That's from Mikey from Bendigo. Great question. You could probably even add, say, Dustin Martin to that conversation, Ralphie.
I'll tell you what, Gary is the one that dragged him through the aisles. You know, should have had four Brownlows, and even for all of Dustin Martin's brilliance, you can never actually say that he's been close to four of them yet. You know, Dusty, I tell you what, yeah, he's the one you want in the finals, and I think Cam Smith is the one for all of those things: leadership, longevity, you know, Churchill medals, premierships. You know, obviously there's contention about a couple of them that I don't think they should be in their records, but some would say that are. So I'm probably making the case for Cam Smith as much as I think he's reliable rather than brilliant.
Courtney, that's an interesting one. You write for the national newspaper, and you probably get to obviously there's a Sydney presence in your paper as well. Where does Cam Smith, Gary Ablett Jr., and I think Dustin Martin, he's in definitely in the same conversation as Ablett Jr. these days.
Absolutely. I think Ablett's had a sublime career, which goes without saying. I've got to say, for a period, I certainly would have had Chris Judd ahead of Gary Ablett through the first sort of 10 or so years of their careers, because I thought Judd was such an influential player and such a strong captain at both West Coast and Carlton. And he was dynamic at West Coast. He was so strong at Carlton. So I'm not so certain Gary was ahead of Judd through their respective careers for a period, but then obviously the longevity and the ability to keep going and the brilliance he showed, you know, that certainly elevated him in my eyes. But I think if we look at Smith,
yep,
he was a star for Melbourne from day one. He has captained that club through difficult times and also rewarding times, but he's also done it in State of Origin. Now, unfortunately, you know, we haven't that option in Victoria, you know, in Australian footy anymore, but to be such a big star in State of Origin as he has been, and then to represent, you know, in international, well, I think, you know, it's a career for Cam Smith. So I think you'd almost have to put it ahead.
Okay. Your phone line might be just breaking up. You might be going into a tunnel there, Walshy, but this one's for you, Ralphie. G'day, boys. Ralphie up front. I'm completely biased, bleed yellow and black. But how good is Benny Gale? I loved him back when we were no good and he played his heart out for us. What a smart, gutsy, honest bloke. Love him. That's from Robin PS. Daytime grand final forever.
You know what? I think he's got that beautiful skill set for an administrator. You know, he's got the human touch. He's got the financial wherewithal. He's got the capacity to empower and delegate to the people out there that he knows can do an elite job as well. And he's got the morals as well. I mean, there's been a lot of administrators out there that have been really ruthless, but they've been prepared to cut corners. And, you know, Richmond has been so far from flawless this year in some of their COVID issues. But, you know, the more you hear about the way they were able to handle that, they're able to own it, they absolutely burned. And as Dylan Grimes said on Sunday, you know, we thought to ourselves, are we doing the right thing? Have we got the right culture here? And yet they reassessed and they just went again. And so, Benny Gale, he will be the AFL CEO at some stage. It may well be that Dylan McLaughlin's star power means that it might be in a couple more years. But, yeah, he's been everything to that football club. And, you know, as a result, the stable administration with him and Peggy means that, you know, it didn't guarantee him the flags, but it set the platform to be able to achieve that.
And Peggy would have to go down as one of the great presidents of all time, in my eyes. I still remember when they called that ridiculous press conference there, the board, a group of individuals that wanted to take on the current Richmond
footy,
Richmond board, and Peggy's been able to lead that football club. And when you talk and you hear those Richmond players and like Dustin Martin, not only are they winning premierships, but it sounds like they're making better people off the field as well.
Yeah, Dustin Martin will, you know, started as an AFL rat bag. He might turn into one of its model citizens. You just continue to hear from Tigers players about him being up at 5 a.m. and getting his ice baths done and, you know, drinking his vodka sodas with a dash of lime rather than his beers and whatever else it might have been in Vegas. I'm not sure he's going to live the puritanical lifestyle for the next couple of weeks up in Queensland. I tell you what, if you get one of those Amazon documentary crews to follow him for the next 2 weeks, I tell you what, yeah, you'd have enough series. Enough evidence for a 10-week period of hard knocks. But, you know, he's an absolute superstar. And, look, you know, he's not in the conversation yet with Gary Ablett and Cam Smith for longevity. But This is a bloke who starred from the very first season. He's fourth in his first season. I think he's been out of the best and fairest top 10 once in 10 completed seasons. He's not yet 30. He's the kind of bloke who, like Lee Matthews before him, is going to be able to shuffle up and play exclusively half forward and full forward. You know, if he's got 6 or 7 years left in him, he may well be in the conversation with the likes of Lee, even though he might have even gone past Lee in terms of final performance.
Never again the AFL Night Grand Final. Every person I've spoken to disliked it. 3 p.m. start at the latest. That's from Ando from Ballarat. Good on you, Ando. Good morning to you. Come on, G Hall. Love listening to you guys, but a suggestion for a Night Grand Final following this year is just a no. Any changes from this year to next is just a no. A rolling fixture is just a no. Bring on a real season next year. Cheers from Posty Troy. Good on you, Troy. What do you think of that, Walshy? Do you agree with Posty Troy? Geez, he's been busy too in the pandemic.
No doubt he would have been because they certainly had a lot of deliveries. I would love to think that we'd have an all season. I think everyone will.
Hey, Walshy, we might just interrupt. You're breaking up. We might get Benny to give you a call back there, mate. Your line all of a sudden has basically gone downhill. Hey, Ralphie, do you think there'll be many changes to the AFL? Do they think, well, we had to change things around, but we actually like what we saw in 2020?
Yeah, that's right. I reckon a month ago they were saying to themselves, we want to make sure everything's the same. We want to make sure that we retain certainty and, you know, bring back the tradition. But right now that 18-minute quarters rather than 16 or 20 of last year is a massive live concern. And the other one is that six-week rolling fixture. You know, Gillon McLachlan, I think, has really seen the power of those amazing Thursday and Friday night games. Or more to the point, has seen the struggles of a Carlton who have really battled in Friday night fixtures. So I think the one thing that is really critical is if you are to have a six-week rolling fixture, it means that all those punters who want to go to the Gold Coast or WA don't want to be gouged by airlines and don't want to be gouged by hotel prices. And so the AFL's got their own travel company. They've got their affiliation with Virgin. And I think it would be so important for the AFL to say, okay, you only work out when your team plays in the Gold Coast on a Friday night in 6 weeks, but we have some, you know, tickets plus airline fares package because, you know, no one's going to pay $700 to go to the Gold Coast when they can get cheap fares at $180, you know, 8 months before. I think that's a really critical element for a lot of fans that would love to travel late.
Mm-hmm. No, it's an interesting one. And I think, like, 18-minute quarters, that will be the go in 2021?
Yeah, and look, I think we all felt like, as much as we love what we had, you know, in so many areas last year, we're getting a 135-minute game. You know, you have a couple of injury breaks and that game just goes forever. You know, if your kids, you know, if you've taken your kids to the football, yes, you might get them to halftime, but they're like, man, this is enough, Dad. I've had my hot dog, I've had my pie, I want to move on. So if it is that we have, you know, games that go for, you know, just a fraction over 2 hours, you know, I think we can find a really happy medium from this year to last year.
0416905052 to join our conversation. Loving your feedback this morning. Hey, Ralphie, what about your three magic moments of the 2020 AFL season?
I put them as memorable moments because they weren't all positive. Yeah, for me, Dustin Martin kicking that goal in the 18-minute mark of the second quarter there when they were bereft. You know, I remember even looking at the scores of last year's prelim and thinking, well, it was 21 points to 22. I thought, you know, that this was so different. Geelong was so resilient. You know, they were so well set up behind the ball. And then Dustin Martin, with that moment of brilliance, just changed everything and it allowed them to believe. So that was the number one for me. The number two was that moment where, you know, and we were in a Fox footy, we had a heads up or had made enough phone calls to think of ourselves in round one, think this season is going to shut down. And so we're able to, you know, to listen into that press conference with Gillon McLachlan on that Sunday afternoon, you know, at halftime of a crazy, eerie game involving Melbourne and Hawthorn and Melbourne, thinking this game is to be shut down and potentially we will never get it back again this year, and to think of the damage to so many people. And then for me, it was still Mad Jack Dore. You know, he was supposed to make his return, had some injury issues, but still made that return from such an extraordinary low in round nine at Carrara Stadium in Adelaide. For me, you know, that was still a magical individual moment.
All right, then. Are you back with this, Walshy?
I think I am.
Oh, that's,
I am.
What about the three moments that stood out for you this season?
Well, John has taken two of them, so I'll have a quick rethink. But I think the bounce of the ball to start round two, I thought that was so important. The game's back. This is an amazing thing for the game's history, given where we were in March. Number two, the Dreamtime game in Darwin. I thought that was spectacular, and I would love to think that we would see matches in the future rotated through Darwin, given the cultural significance. And for me, the last one was Dustin Martin kicking the goal, the final goal of the season.
Yep.
A display of excellence and brilliance and everything we love about the game. And I thought that was a fitting way to cap the season.
The couple of moments that stood out for me, they're not necessarily, as you pointed out, Ralphie, as magical moments, but it just you remember where you were when you heard about what just happened. The kebab story with the Richmond players after they left the strip club, that really hit me for six. The second part was, I remember that Saturday afternoon, I think it was, or a Sunday afternoon, when the train sirens in the background as Gil McLaughlin went to start that media conference with that positive test, the COVID test, with a player there. Of course, it was the Bomber Irish player.
Yeah, Connor McKenna.
Yeah, Connor McKenna. And the final moment for mine that really stood out in 2020 was basically just, it was Dustin Martin once again. I couldn't believe we got through the season and Richmond had won that flag, and watching Gary Ablett leave the ground for the final time, it really hit home that we won't get to see one of the greatest of all time. And I thought the way that Richmond handled themselves under that particular situation was first class. They had some hiccups in the early part of the season off field, but I think they show what a class outfit they are, hiding their premiership medals and giving the respect that Gary Ablett Jr. deserved.
Yeah, it's a great point. You think about some of the opportunities for next year as well, and it's like, how do you top this? You know, that Port Adelaide versus Geelong, you know, qualifying final, what, they have 30,000 there at Adelaide Oval. You know, as well, she says so well, that Dreamtime game and a back-to-back game as well. You know, why wouldn't the AFL try to explore some of that stuff? You know, imagine all those Carlton fans that said, imagine if I could have been there against Gold Coast up at Darwin and a couple of beers afterwards and get to Kakadu. And, you know, I just think the AFL is, they're really smart with their fixture. I mean, I've never seen a game at Adelaide Oval. I've never seen a game at Optus. And so many of us that are so desperate to get out of our own state, let alone over to Vegas maybe, or to LA Rams, their new $5 billion stadium, that's going to have to wait for 12 months. So many opportunities to travel within our own country. And I think the AFL can do a really good job of fixturing them to allow people to get to those states.
Could Sam Kerr be in the conversation for Australia's greatest footballer this century or not? She probably could.
No doubt about that. Yeah, she's done it all. She's done it at high level. She's done it at club games. She's inspirational. And look, just one as well for the next 10 years, Ryan Pappenhausen. I mean, just to think, you know, Churchill Medal. I see Dean Ritchie in the Daily Telegraph. He's now trying to steal him back. You know, wrote today about all of the links to Western Sydney and how we all love him, and he's still a Western Sydney boy at heart. Hey, he's a Storm boy right now. And, to think that for the 600,000 Melburnians that watched him on Sunday night, to think, I want to see a bit more of this kid. He's just electric.
Yeah, he's one of the great resilient stories as well. No one really wanted to give him the number one jersey. He went to a few clubs, and they had their opportunity to recruit him, and everybody said he was too small, but he went to the Storm, and Craig Bellamy is a remarkable coach. When you have a look at that side and to see what they've been able to do to recycle so many players in a way, like there were players that were trying out for the rugby union side here in Melbourne, then all of a sudden he would play them in his starting lineup and turn them into NRL premiership players. What a coach he is, what an organisation. And there's a couple of questions coming through, and I'll get both your opinions on this. Did Phil Gould deliberately commentate like that on Sunday night to get people talking about the sport of rugby league in this state, or do you think he just misread the play, Ralphie?
Oh, I just think he's a gibberer. I just think he's a selfish, one-sided, you know, narcissistic gibberer. I understand that there are Stephen A. Smiths out there.
Better quote that one, Benny.
Well, there are Skip Baylesses out there. There are, you know, the Kane Corns of the world who say deliberately provocative things that often they don't believe. But I didn't think it enhanced the coverage. I didn't think it was one of those ones that made you angry but wanted more. I just was upset by it all. I just thought it was really poor coverage. And I think I said on Twitter, these games are time capsules where you go back and look at them. You know, so many of those great AFL grand finals, you look back at Dennis Cometti and Bruce and you go, they nailed the moment there. They nailed the momentum. When Bruce says in the second quarter here, you can feel the game turning. and he says it in that guttural Bruce growl, you know, he picks the moment. I thought in every single time where there was an opportunity to read the play, Stillgood just stuffed it up.
Yep. Walshy?
Some games are best watched, Gareth, without commentary. I was very fortunate to have that privilege on Sunday night.
You know, sitting, I don't mind...
Sitting in the pub, it was, you're just watching the game and having the reaction of the people watching, the fans. So I was very... So, look, I was obviously read a lot about the scathing criticism of Gould, but, I think we'll look forward to his Victorians next year.
That's, I don't mind Phil Good.
With our commentary.
Yeah, I could have a beer with Phil. He loves his races and all that, but I was listening on Sunday night. I just didn't know where he was coming from. So, it's just the way that he read the game. And you know what? He's got an opinion. He's paid to have an opinion, and he's paid to have that opinion how he sees that game. And I guess you don't have to agree with it, but I even tweet. I don't usually tweet, but I thought, is Phil watching the same game I'm watching? But the Storm are a remarkable organisation. And this is a good... I want to read this. This is where I got the idea. It was disappointing for Ray Warren to be next to Phil as Ray Caldwell and fairly. And when he's a legend, Ray Warren, like, and the state of origin, his voice, he is rugby league in my humble. 9 minutes past 12, boys. Just quickly with Summer Sport, Walshy, what are you expecting there with the 0-0? And well done to everybody involved in Victoria. I don't know about you, Ralphie, but my partner, for instance, she went to work for the first time and she's never been so happy. You know, it's amazing what the news that came through from Daniel Andrews yesterday has done for the spirits of this state and the people of this state.
And to just have little things like getting back on the golf course.
Yeah.
Not even shooting 68, just getting out for a chip and a putt as I did yesterday and actually just, you know, give yourself some mental relief. You know, the kids back at the tennis courts as well. You know, there's going to be a smattering of fans, obviously, at the Melbourne Cup or more to the point, owners. But I think it just gives us the capacity to look forward to things like the Boxing Day and having some fans there. The best property we have is the MCC because it's got 100,000 seats. And so if it is that we're socially distanced, you know, let's call it a quarter of the people, you still might have 25,000 people in. And obviously, Walshy would feel a lot more optimistic about being able to not sell out Melbourne Park, but certainly have a meaningful quota of fans there for the Australian Open.
That will be the hope, Walshy. We've run out of time. We might talk about this next week.